5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening. It is the new Panic Room, episode 207, good lord. And it's the 1st of October, so I'm not sure where summer went. Well, went in a bit of a haze of face masks and, you know, mass panic and all that nonsense, but I think most people are going to be pleased to see the back end of this year, so not far to go now. No, another 3 months to go and we'll be there, so hang on in there, folks. Anyway, yes, it is 9:30 central time. I'm sorry, I'm being harassed by a fruit fly. I have to put the fruit fly song on, I think. It is, and here she is.
Come on, I'm with you. We'll be right back.
Whoa, yee-haw, how are you this evening, my dear?
Oh, I'm so glad it's Thursday and we just have tomorrow to
It's been, hasn't it? We've both had shit weeks this week. It's been,
It can only get better from here.
Hush. No, there's a whole day. There's a whole day for shit, more shit to go wrong tomorrow. So hush your mouth.
Not if I don't get out of bed. If I don't get out of bed,
if you don't get out of bed, then I know you have work to do. So you'll be in bother for not doing that. So you can't win. But,
no.
I'm gonna again as a word of warning to our listener. Ongoing sark. I promised my daughter a puppy. We already have two dogs. One is my son's, who he's had from a puppy. We've had him about 3 years now. He's sort of grown up and everything. And we were gonna wait until moved house, which is supposedly next year, all being well. But we helped a friend relocate her dog to some other friends whose dog had passed away, sadly. So because we did all that, we got the doggy bug, So my dog, she set her heart on a pit bull puppy. She wants a pit bull. So fair enough. And it's kind of cool for me. They're actually banned in England. Because they're
really?
the dangerous dogs. Well, it's one of those things. They can be aggressive, but then again, any dog can be aggressive. I was actually as a child, I was savaged by a Jack Russell, and ever since then, I hate Jack Russells, and that's probably why I hate small dogs. To be honest, seriously, it bit a hole in my leg, it chewed at my fingers, my foot. Nasty piece of work it was. Any dog can be, if you want, because obviously they train pit bulls to be fighting dogs. But raised right, raised proper, they're fairly sweet. I know people have had them, people have got them.
Yeah.
And they're sweet. I mean, they're sweet, they're good family dogs and all the rest of it. So I thought, well, fair enough, because I got the bug a little bit as well. So we looked online and found some, people, we had nice websites and the breeders and all the rest of it. And so I hooked up with one, and all seemed legit. And he said, can you send me a picture of this puppy? And, can you send a deposit? And, I agreed to go through and pick it up on Monday. Sent me an address and everything across town. Me and the kids got in the car, went across town. And, of course, hindsight being what it is, we got there, and, of course, there was no one there.
Oh, no.
So, well, I tell you, the house was out. As soon as I pulled up outside, there was people, they'd gutted it, and they were doing it up and all the rest of it. And it's like, I mean, it was $100 that, I'd rather not have pissed away, but it was just seeing the disappointment on the kid's face. I thought, you just seriously, but then thankfully then Tuesday, I did a bit more digging. I actually went on Facebook, found and joined some local, pit bull groups. And found a terrific lady, and she understood and what have you. Long story short, met up with her yesterday and brought our little puppy home.
She's adorable too.
Little girl pit bull. I mean, she's settling in. It's been a while since we've had a puppy. We've had Mike for, he must be 4 years now, so it's a long time since he was a little puppy. And I'm surprised. Yeah. I didn't know something so small could produce so much poo, to be honest.
That's one reason I do not miss puppies.
But we're on the path now to sort of getting they've got some of these mat things, because she's never been outside. She actually took her out, let her outside with the other two dogs yesterday afternoon. The first time she's actually been out. So, you know, hopefully she should she'll pick up, you know, why they go out and what goes on out there.
Yeah.
And everything. But
exciting. New puppies are exciting. Yeah.
It is.
Go on. Oh, I was going to say, in pet news, Misha graduated from the little, what do they call, hoppers to large mice, I guess, last week. And it's been 6 days today, I think. And she was cruising around her cage yesterday, or her tank yesterday, and she's cruising around tonight. We think it might be feeding time again. I mean, she was, and she gets up on the tip top of her tank, and we can't even find her, and we're looking all around, and all of a sudden, you know, smack, she falls down because she's just like dangling. I don't know where she's dangling from, but she and then of course she fell right into her water dish tonight, and water's all over the place, and like, oh, poor Misha, she's, you know, but she's fine. And that's usually when we realize it's time to feed her, when she is cruising all around for a day or two, and she
when they're hungry. Yeah. So my ball python, it's about the size of yours when I got him. I mean, I've had him like 20 years now. But I know, because in his cage, I had, like, obviously the heat lamp and everything, and he used to like, you know, hanging from it, and he actually got that big. He just used to just pull it. You should just pull it down. He has a heat mat now. You know, I can't put a... you've got everything,
she's got, like, all the fake flowers and you know, greenery and stuff, and they're suctioned up to the tank, and she's, you know, climbing on everything, and they're not real. So they just, like, come, you know, away from the side of the tank, and she falls, but we'll hear the rustling noise, and I'm like, oh god, they're not gonna hold her.
Well, that's how she gets bigger. I've got sort of like sturdy logs in the cage for mine, because I've never seen a picture. I mean, he's fairly he's only about 4.5 foot long, he's 5 at a push, but he's thick. I mean, he's big, solid. So, and he's heavy. So he just pull everything down.
We love our babies. We do, and I have all the decorations. I actually have pumpkins in there now, because it's, you know, October, and I'll come out in the morning after, you know, bedtime, and the whole tank is just like, I'm like, what did she do in there? All the pumpkins are tipped over, and, you know, stuff is, I'm like, she must have had, like, a party in there or something.
Maybe
so. Maybe
she's having parties while you're in bed. Yeah, good on her. Good on her.
I think so, yeah.
That's awesome.
But she's amazing, though. I know. Okay, now, this is where I usually say, well, you know, enough about that, and then you go on to something else, and you didn't do it, so you just kind of, like, left me hanging there.
I thought I would let you do that, but, so anyway, do tell me what's going on tonight.
All right, I'm excited. We have a guest on who we haven't had on since, I think, the first year, and I don't know why, so I'm really excited to bring her back. We have New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and USA Today bestselling author Aletha Romig. And I can't wait to talk to her. And later on in our show, we're going to have international bestselling author Samantha Downing. So it's going to be an action-packed show tonight.
It's an award-winning show. I mean, not the show, not your show itself, obviously. I think we really do deserve an award for something. To be honest, I just think I would award as an award, just because.
You know, it's 207 episodes. That right there deserves something. We've been doing it for this long. It's something. I'm not sure quite what.
The Never Say Die Award.
Yeah, right.
That'd work.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I think we should bring our first guest on, because I'm dying to meet her again.
Okay, our first guest is New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and USA Today bestselling author Aletha Romig. Woo!
Am I on? Hi.
Yes, you are.
You are.
More importantly.
Okay, I'm here.
Hey, it's been a while. How have you been?
I am good. I was just looking that up. It was 2017, the last time I was on your show.
Seriously, wow.
Wow.
It does not seem, and it doesn't seem that long. Wow. So, well, I say time flies when you're having fun, apparently. I wouldn't know. But
well, you know, 17, 18, and 19 saying. Just flew by. 20 just kind of is staying here forever. But other than that, it's been good.
Well, right. I mean, this year it's been like a permanent Wednesday afternoon. really, I was just...
I was looking your book up to see when it was coming out, and I was shocked at how many titles that I see by you now. I mean, I'm like, where has the time gone, and how did you have time to write all those books?
I just finished writing my 36th title.
Holy cow.
36.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of is what I do. So, yeah, the first couple ones took a whole year, but the rest of them have gone a little bit more quick.
Oh, wow, that's so many. I mean, and I have to catch up reading. I do. I think that the last time I read anything was when we had I think it was the Consequences, that series. So I have so much to catch up on. No, wait.
Joe,
no,
Insidious?
Mm-hmm. I think I read it, Insidious. That one really made me go, oh, my God. Yeah.
Insidious was my breakaway from Consequences. Consequences was my first series. And then Insidious, I wanted to do something a little bit different, and I think I did. And then I've gone into more series since then, mostly.
And you are here to talk to us about your book, Dusk. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, Dusk is actually the first book of the Dangerous Web trilogy, but it is the ninth book of the Sparrow Web series. So this was kind of a fun thing that blossomed out of just one trilogy. I started a trilogy back in 2018, and it was called Web of Sin. And I had no idea there were four men who had been friends since basic training, and I had no idea that each one of them would end up with their own story. So each trilogy is a story of one of these men and their lady. And so Dangerous Web and Dusk is my final trilogy in this series. So it's books 9, 10, or wait, no, it'd be, good, it's 10, 11, and 12. 10, 11, 12. So it's, it's the last trilogy of the series.
Now, I love world building when it comes to a series, you know, how you have weaved the characters in this world and stuff like that. And do you prefer writing like that where I would imagine it would be kind of comfortable, you know, almost like
I've never done
recalling.
It before, but I can't tell you how much I love it. I mean, just like I fall into, I know all of their POVs, all the way they all talk. Everyone's different. All of the men are different. Mm-hmm. All of the women are different. And they still are a really tight group, and so, like in this fourth trilogy, I have all of them. I mean, they're all eight there. So, I mean, I've got things going on with all eight of them. So, it's a lot of fun.
Does it ever get crowded in your head? I mean, can you imagine you're writing Dusk and you have their point of view, but then other characters from other books are starting to talk. Does it ever get crowded?
What is so fun is that, like, the first trilogy is the Kingpin of Chicago. So he runs Chicago's underground, and it's him getting his queen. So you see them, more intimately. You see their point of view. But then as the series progresses, you never see their point of view again. You just see them in other people's point of view. And it's so fun when I get messages from people that say, well, I like Sterling, but now he's an a-hole. And I'm like, well, you're seeing him from a different point of view. Like, you're not seeing him from him. You're seeing the way people look at him, and that's how people are supposed to look at him. And so it's just, I mean, it's a lot of fun to show them from an outside point of view, I guess, if that
I
makes
like
sense.
That.
But I mean, so, I mean, I've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it definitely does. Because, you know, he doesn't think he's an asshole, so of course he's not going to, you know. Yeah.
Well, he kind of like does, but you know, obviously every trilogy ends in an H-E-A, so there's, you know, his trilogy, and then there's the next one, and then the next one, and now this is the final one. And it's, I mean, a little sad, but I keep telling everyone it's the final trilogy. That doesn't mean there's not going to be a standalone or a duet in there somewhere. It's the final trilogy. So
yeah.
I'm not trying to give them up forever.
You know, that, yeah, definitely, that is a drawback of, you know, creating a world because, you know, I don't know, do you have to say goodbye? I mean, I do know I had this one series that I just absolutely loved. It was a new adult, I think, series, and it was up to like 10 books long. And the last book, I cried so hard. Just because I knew it was the last one. And, like, every single thing that they did, I was like, oh, my God, that's the last time they're going to do that. And I'm like, why? Why do authors do this to us? Like, you don't have to do this.
You know, I mean, I think that, I mean, for example, this is going to be my, you know, when I'm done with this, I will have 12 books in this series.
Wow.
And I started writing it in 2018, so, and it will end in 2021. So I've been in this world for a long time. But when I wrote the Consequences series, the first three books each took me a year. So I was really in that series longer. And by the time I was done with it, I was kind of like, put them all in a bus and let's just blow them up. Like, I'm just so tired of everybody. So I don't do that. I don't kill everybody off. They're still alive in the Consequences series, too. And, I mean, I've learned to say never with any of them. Like, you know, there might be something come up eventually. I mean, I want to move on to different worlds because I think that's important for readers to not read the same thing for the same author over and over with different names.
Right.
They want new stories.
That's definitely true. But at the same time, you know, for me, I just once in a while, let me know what Claire's doing. You know, she's doing okay. Maybe she can send a postcard or something. You know, that'd be kind of cool.
There was a standalone Consequences series about Natalie, which was Tony and Claire's youngest daughter that you never met in the series.
Oh.
So
wow.
It's called Ripples, and it came out, I don't know what year. But so that one came out. And so I've had people ask for more. And I said, you know, I've learned to never say never. I thought there'd be three books. There ended up being five. Then I ended up doing the Behind His Eyes. And then I ended up doing Ripples. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying the Rawlings are gone. I mean, the Rawlings are probably going to be around forever. And, you know, we might get more. I personally think that I would like to give maybe each one of the kids a standalone eventually. But, like, right now, they're not the ones talking to me. I'm loving the Sparrow. I'm loving the Sparrow world, the Sparrow web.
Mm. So, I mean, do you know, Dusk is coming out soon, and, like, do you know what happens, what you're going to do after the series is over, when you put it to bed finally?
I do,
like,
because
do
I was in an anthology called One More Step, which was a bookworm. If you're familiar with Bookworm Box, it was a Bookworm Box anthology. And we were all given the same sentence, and we had to start our book with that sentence. We had to start our book with that sentence. And so then we all wrote, I mean, that was all we were given. And then everyone was supposed to kind of showcase their writing style. So I wrote a short in this anthology called The Deal. And The Deal is going to become a full-length book come out in May of 2021 as Devil's Deal. So I am going to be starting a new series. And it will be set in New Orleans.
Awesome. I will have to keep my eyes out for that. I do know that, you know, for like the, you know, you said everybody had a one sentence and you write your story from that. When I first had challenges like that, like I write poetry and occasionally they'll have a prompt. And at first I hated them. I was like, you know, I write and it's feelings, and it, you know, it's all about the feelings, and I can't, you know, do something like that. And now I'm like, I love the prompts. I do, because it's a way to kind of branch out and do something that you wouldn't normally do. And sometimes they're really cool, and you end up with some really cool things. So it would be interesting to read that and see everybody's different take on that sentence.
I highly recommend it. It's so much fun, and it's so neat to see how we are all so different in our writing style. And that was kind of the whole idea, was just to showcase your writing style. And I had written a short, and I had it out. And a couple of weeks before it was coming out, I let my friend and PR person read it. And she said, well, do you have the full-length book on pre-order? I said, what full-length book? She's like, oh, my gosh, you're going to have a full-length book because this is so good. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah, that is what is happening after the Sparrow World. But at least I have something out there, which makes me feel like I have something to go to, so that's good.
Now, to get back to Dusk, I want to hear more. Do you have an excerpt for us?
I do. I have it pulled up right here. Now, just to give a little background, like I said, these are the 10th, 11th, and 12th books of this series, but they are a trilogy. So every trilogy stands on its own. You don't have to have read the first nine. I don't want people to be overwhelmed to read this trilogy. You can jump in and you will know, you know, you'll be able to follow along what's happening. But for people who have read the entire series, Lorna and Reed have been married for the entire series. They were married in the first book. So that was kind of my, there was no getting the girl in this. I mean, he's got her. You know, they've been married for 9 years. So basically, I wrote a prologue to their getting to know each other, and I did a lot of shorts this year, and it came out in Dark Fairy Tales, which is currently available, and it was like a modern day Cinderella story, and it was their first meeting, and it takes place 6 years before the very first book. So they have been together pretty much through this whole thing. But now this trilogy that I'm writing is obviously, you know, I'm going to cause problems because, you know, that makes life exciting. So there's going to be all sorts of things that happen. But the excerpt that I have is that in the first book, Dusk, I am kind of known for going back in time. Instead of just telling you what happened, I like to show people what happened. I mean, I did that in Consequences. I did that in my Infidelity series, and I do it in this series too. So this is Lorna and Reed, and this was nine years ago, so this is when their relationship is very new. So that gives you a little bit of information. And it says, lying back on the pillow, I look up into Reed's eyes, staring into their depths. Emotions like cyclones swirled in the deepest brown I had ever seen. You're worried, I said, and as he teased away a stray strand of my red hair from my face. He shook his head as he feigned a smile. You're so damn beautiful. My fingertips roamed over his chestnut skin, feeling his bare shoulders, muscular back, and firm ass. Each indentation, each tightening muscle was a story written in Braille, a masterpiece I wanted to read over and over again until I knew every chapter, line, and every word by heart. Back at you, I purred, holding him tighter as we lay melded together, my body still reveling in aftershocks of our stolen moment. Our time together wouldn't last. It never did. Yet, in the few weeks we've been together, I became addicted to his touch, the way he could orchestrate not only my body but my mind. When we were together, I believed in the fairy tale I'd been sold as a child. In his arms, my thoughts filled with possibilities for a future I never before dared to consider. Never before had there been a man who so fully consumed my being. It wasn't that Reed took, but that in giving, he created a desire within me to give in return. Never had I been loved so thoroughly, not only physically, something he did beyond my wildest imagination, but emotionally too. Without knowing all my past, in this short time, Reed has shown me what a real man could be. Of course, I had my brother, but beyond that, my examples of men were poor at best and more often horrible. The only thing men my mother had attracted taught me was to never trust, depend on, or give my love to a man. And yet Reed Murray was nothing like those men of my childhood. He had not only the honor of my brother, but also more patience and compassion melded together by his burning desire. In these few weeks, I'd fallen for him in a way I'd never dreamed possible. Yet, as life intervened, time together was limited. Despite, or maybe because of, the dangers that Reed, Patrick, Mr. Sparrow, and my brother all claimed were knocking on our door at any time, that Reed and I could spend together was precious. Reed shifted his weight until we were no longer joined as one. Turning on his side, he lay opposite to me, nose to nose. His large hands cut my cheek as he brought our lips together. A moan escaped my lips as his tongue sought entrance. Willingly, I opened, welcoming the connection and tasting my own essence. It brought back the memory of how he'd brought me to ecstasy before we joined together to find a higher cliff. My breast pushed against his solid chest and my nipples again tightened. Pulled away, a cold shiver covered my flesh and I asked, "What has you so worried?" I didn't say I was. I lifted my head, the pulse running faster as I grew terrified of the answer to the question I was about to pose. Is it about us? Is it about me? Taking a deep breath, Reed sat up, moving his long legs over the edge of the bed. Propping my head on my hand with my elbow on my mattress, I relished the view. While Reed may not have the bulk of muscle, Mason, which is her brother, muscle was all he was. There wasn't an ounce of fat on his torso. Flexed and biceps bulged, even his thighs and ass were muscular. I could stare at them for hours. Statues of Greek and Roman gods had nothing on the man who had stolen my heart and satisfied my body. When we were all together, I found myself envisioning what was hidden beneath his jeans and shirt. Even with the other men present, those images, along with the memories of what he'd done and was capable of doing to me, had me fidgeting in my chair and dampening my panties. I reached for his hand as he started to stand. "I'm sorry if it's me." Reed's smile grew as he turned, taking me in. His gaze raked from my messy red hair all the way to my toes, lingering too long in places in between. "It's not you, Lorna. Right now, with everything that's happening, the time we spend together with you are the fucking best minutes of the day."
Aw, I think I like Lorna. I do. with your different, all the different couples, do you have a favorite?
My favorite is always the one I'm writing or that I just wrote. I mean, see, it really is.
You know,
I fall in love with each one as I'm doing it. I mean, like, I loved Drillian and Aranier. They were wonderful. And then I fell in love with Mason and Laurel, and then Patrick and Madeline, and now I'm back with Reed and Lorna, and I love them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny being, I have several poetry books out, and every time one comes out, that one is my absolute favorite. But at the same time, I kind of feel like, you know, a mom with their own kids, and like, you know, I would never, ever admit to liking one better than another. So it's just weird. It is. It's like, I can't say anything bad about this. Yeah.
And the more I have, the harder it is. But I mean, I have three children, and I often say it's always been our joke, and we said it, our oldest son is 31, so I've been saying it for a long time, but we've always said that we love him the most because he was our first, and then we love our daughter the most because she's our only daughter, and we love our youngest our youngest son the most because he's our baby. So we've told them that forever, that we love each
that is
one the most.
That is
and they,
terrific.
For their own,
that's a for terrific their own cop-out.
I used to say the same to my kids. My son, I'm like, "You are my favorite son. I just have one." And my daughter, she's my favorite daughter. I have one.
Mm-hmm.
So
my daughter is always asking me, "Which one of us do you prefer? You know, who's your favorite?" I love you both differently.
Exactly.
We just leave it there. We just leave
now,
it there.
At the ages, I'm 22, and my son is 16. And right now, I don't like either one of them too much. So there's that one. You know?
Well, no. Don't get me wrong. There is. I mean, we love them. We are genetically predisposed to loving them. Liking them is a whole different ballgame.
It really is a different ballgame. But I'll tell you what, the older they get, the easier that gets. It really does. Our oldest is 31, and I messaged him today, and he knows me too well, because I messaged him and asked him about his younger brother, and we live in Indianapolis, and I said, I mean, our cold scene is kind of a mess right now, but anyway, I said, if I got your brother a jersey, who would I get it? Who would he want to have the jersey? You know, what number? And so my son like gave me a list, and then he said, "But if you're asking what I want and you're trying to be secretive, you failed because I didn't tell you." And I said, "Okay, well, then what do you want?" He's like, "No, I really want a jersey. I don't care who it is." So they know me pretty well. They know when I'm trying to be tricky and I'm not doing a very good job.
Well, James, I had to tell you real quick, just so that you won't be tortured anymore. The Blue Jays are now they're gone. We lost the game last night, and so they're out of the playoffs. And I'm very sad, but you're probably doing a jig, so I don't talk about it anymore this year. So there's that. So.
Sorry, were you talking then? I wasn't paying any attention.
I was. I love baseball.
I heard Blue Jays and then switched off.
That was it.
Honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dog's name is Big Poppy because even though we live in Indianapolis, we are huge Red Sox fans. So my little tiny dog, which is Yorkie and Pomeranian, his name is Big Poppy. For David Ortiz, just in case you don't know who
Right, right.
Is.
Yeah, no.
I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
No, none whatsoever. None whatsoever.
No,
sorry.
If I had a second favorite team, it would be the Red Sox. But they're doing lousy this year. Anyway,
oh, it's,
I guess here,
it's awful.
Far.
It's so bad. It's so
yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
But because we do live in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we grew up in northern Indiana, our second favorite team is the Cubs, and they're doing okay. They're doing all right.
Yeah. We have to stop talking about baseball. James is going to mute both of us and just talk for, you know, talk himself. So, you know.
Moving
but
on.
I was going to, okay, so I know. With I can't imagine you have any spare time when you're not writing. But when you do have any time, what do you like to read? Who do you read right now?
Well, I thought you were going to ask me what I did, and I am a grandmother of a 9-month-old, so basically whenever I have free time, I want to spend it with her, so that doesn't include reading, and she's amazing and fantastic, and so when those children of yours get older, our daughter's 29, almost 30, and she's the one who gave us a baby, we're like, it's the most amazing thing in the world. So that is what I do. Gosh, you know what? I read a lot of people. I really, really, really like thrillers. So thrillers are often what I choose to read. But I just recently, I put this in my email, and I'm going to look for it today. It was called Defying Gravity. I read it recently, and it is actually amazing. And it's very poignant and timely. I highly recommend it. It came out today, and I'm trying to find this, so I can tell you the name of the author. I don't want to tell you wrong.
You know, I went through, I think it was last year, I had a phase where I was reading a bunch of thrillers. And there were the mainstream ones, though. They weren't indie authors at all. And what I noticed is that while they were good, they all seemed so, there was a formula, you know. And once you figure out the formula, you knew what was going to happen. And I was just like,
did you read The Silent Patient?
I haven't, no.
It is absolutely, I read it last winter, and it's mainstream, and I don't think I've ever been so in my life.
Really?
I highly recommend it.
Awesome.
I mean, because I love thrillers, I kind of mix thrillers into my romances, and I don't think I've ever had a, oh my goodness, moment like I had with The Silent Patient, and I highly recommend it.
I'll definitely have to
Recent read was Defying Gravity, and it's by A.M. I don't even know how to say the last name, K-U-S-I, Kusi, I guess. And what I have learned is that A is Ashley, M is Marcus. It's a husband and wife team that writes it.
Oh, wow.
I wonder
how that works.
apparently well. Is the third book in their Shattered Cove series, but every book is a standalone. So they're not, I mean, you can read this one without having read, because I did. I haven't read anything else. And I've told them since then, because I've said, you know, made it such a big deal about the fact I loved it. They've contacted me, and I'm like, I promise I'll read once I finish writing this trilogy, but I've got to get this trilogy done right now. But I want to read more. But it was very, very good. Defying Gravity, and it came out today. So I highly recommend it.
Awesome. I'll have to look this up. I'll have to jot them down because, you know, I don't have a whole lot of time to read, but I've been trying the past, you know, week or so to, you know, when I get in bed, I can read a chapter and I'm hoping the chapter is like one page. And I go, I read a whole chapter tonight. Because once I get into bed, that's usually it. So, but yeah, I miss reading a whole lot. I do. I go through some weird phases. Like, you know, one day I'm like, I'm so excited to read this thriller, and then I get halfway done, and my mind says, I wonder what good horror books are out right now, or maybe it's time for a rom-com. And you were writing some lighter books. Were you? So were they rom-com or just a little lighter than the normal darker ones? Hello, Aletha?
I think you're bored her to death with all the baseball.
I don't know.
Thoughts.
Yeah, what happened? I was like,
to be honest.
Like, was it me or?
No, I think it was you. I think you're bored her stupid. The poor woman. The poor woman. But.
I was thinking, man, everybody's just hanging on my very last word. Yes, she
I think she is back. Hello?
Hi, I'm back.
You're back again.
I was disconnected. It wasn't me, I promise.
We lost you.
I know you did. I mean, it just went away. So I called back and I'm here. I heard the end of your question, and yes, I did. I went off. I kind of went off formula for a while. I did Consequences. I did Incident. Insidious, and then I also did my Into the Light and Away from the Dark, which is a thriller duet. And then I did my Infidelity series, which was amazing and fantastic. And I mean, that's what hit all the lists and did great. But I worked on that for like 18 or 19 months straight, and I was kind of worn out and kind of tired. I was worn out. And writing what I write, which is like layers of intrigue and, you know, dark and villains and all this, I just needed a break. And so I decided, hey, I'm going to write a rom-com. And I did, and I wrote Plus One, and it did really well. It hit USA Today, and it did great. So I'm like, hey, this is fun. Let's do this for a little while. And then people were like, well, yeah, we don't want that from you anymore. So, hey, sorry about that. So so I do have three lighter ones, what I call my lighter ones out there, which are Plus One. They're called my lighter ones, O-N-E-S, because there's Plus One, One Night, and Another One. So I put one in every title. Isn't that cute? I thought it was cute.
It is.
Anyway, so so those are, and they are lighter. They're rom-com, sweeter romance. They're still hot. They're still a little bit erotic, but they have a lot erotic. But they are meant. There's no angst. I mean, so it's like totally not me. And it was fun to write. It was so fun to just kind of have a break and just do something different. And you know, about 8 people like them.
Oh, I'm sure I would love them. You know, I write. You know, I read thrillers and horror and, you know, everything. But last year, one of the guests for the show, Tara Civic, she,
Tara's wonderful.
Me,
I love Tara. Well, Tara, I love Tara. Yes,
Tara. I do that every time. Yeah. Tara Civic. She sent me, the Christmas, book she wrote last year, and I can't remember the title. Oh, it's awful.
Was it
the
Holiday
was so
Family?
Cute.
I don't know if that the one a couple years ago she did like a Holiday Family, which was a Christmas one, and it was absolutely hilarious. And she just, I mean, yeah, she writes tons of that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of what I wanted to do just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
And like I said, the first one went well, and the second and third one kind of were like lead balloons. But they are now all in KU. I mean, like, actually, they have, you know, the 8 people who read them liked them, but I mean, it's just not what people expect from me. I would get reviews that say, there's no angst. It's like, that's the point.
Aww.
That was what I wrote. Right. And they're like, yeah. So,
no,
I mean,
you know, there are times that it was Christmas cliche. That's what it was. And it was totally, totally not something I would read. And it was just what I needed, the light and funny. And there's definitely times that you just need to, you know, have something nice to read. You know, I mean, every other, yeah. So I would love to read your rom-coms. I love rom-coms.
Well,
I
they
do.
Are
and
all they are all together in a box set. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, they're there, and it's called All Ones, A L L One, because they're one. So they are all together in a box set now. And honestly, like I had a great time reading them. And I guess what I tell people is before I was ever an author, I was very addicted to J.R. Ward and also to Janet Ivanovich. And so they were my two opposites. I'd read a couple J.R. Wards, which were kind of dark and, you know, twisted, and they were vampires, but, you know, I loved it. And then I would go over and I'd read a Janet Ivanovich. And that would, like, you know, like nice light. And then I'd go back to J.R. Ward again.
Palette cleanser.
So,
yeah, I like that.
So writing, so as an author, writing these lighter ones was fun. I had so much fun writing them. I really did.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's what I was going to say, too. Even though, you know, some people were wanting more of the angst and stuff, write for yourself. I would say, you know, write some more rom-coms, you know. They're fun, and yeah, I'm definitely going to check them out because
I probably will. I mean, I don't know for sure what I'll do. I do know that my other escape is my other off brand is my Indulgence series, and I've had a lot of fun with that. And that is, those are novellas, and they are all erotica. I mean, and it's just meant to be like fun and again, yeah, and sexy, and so awesome. I've had fun with those too, and so I just released another one of those recently, so I mean it's just kind of a nice little break for me, and I mean I'm not solving the world's problems, I'm not doing anything, there's no big issue in it, it's just boy meets girl and they have a fun time. And they fall in love, and they live happily ever after. So, I mean, and it is a fun little break for me, and I enjoy doing it, and I will continue doing it.
Well, Alisa, thank you so much for coming back to the show. It's definitely not going to be another 3 years before I bug you and ask you to please come on again.
Okay.
And, real quick, tell us where we can find you online.
Well, you can find me at alisaromig.com. That's my website, and you can find me, Alisa Romig, on Facebook, Alisa Romig on Twitter. I don't really change my name anywhere. I'm Alisa Romig on Instagram, and I hope everybody will give my Sparrow Worlds a chance because the final trilogy is coming out. Is free everywhere, so you can give it a chance, and if you like it, just keep reading.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Thank you so
much.
You
Well, thanks for having
pleasure.
Me.
Okay, thank you. And we will speak to you again very soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. We need to have a break. So, we do. I cannot believe it's been 3 years. Honestly, it doesn't seem that long. So, scary stuff. But anywho, we'll be right back.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright. Alright. You say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we'd all love to see the plan. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all do what we can. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait. All right. All right. All right. Your mind is dead. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow. Don't you know it's gonna be? All right. All right. All right.
Welcome back to part two.
And the studio crew had nodded off there for a minute, but so hey, so I do enjoy a bit of steam. I don't know about you.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of steam on a first day evening. Do you know, there's not enough steam, I think. It's just like, you know, I'm sad now. I've made myself sad. As someone of a certain age, you know, and I know you can relate, Xtina, because, you know, you're pretty damned old
Thanks.
Yourself, you know, but you're welcome. You know, it's it's terrible because it must be just a strange sort of middle ground, I guess. You know, on one hand, I'm getting email adverts for, you know, silver singles and, you know, all the hot steamy, you know, 15, 16, 17 year olds in my area dying to meet me.
Oh God.
And then on the other side of the coin, obviously coupled with that, I get the the erectile dysfunction adverts, you know, for all these pills and that. It's like, are you seriously, people? You know. but yeah, on the other hand, you know, obviously they think I'm this sort of virile sex god, even at my age, you know, which, to be fair, is not far from the truth. But on the other side of the coin, I'm getting emails for these, you know, these nifty walk-in showers and those great,
wow,
those great little stools that convert to kneeling pads for when you're doing the garden. And the sad thing is, I look at those and think, do you know, that's a good idea, that. It would save my knees. And in that instant, I'm my dad, you know, because he has one of those stools, because I actually bought it for him. I think for when he's like 94 now. And so I bought it for him when he was so like in his 80s. He probably still resents me to this day. You know, fucking old does he think I am, you know? So it is, you know, and you know, people, I don't know. It's strange, you know. Although those who wants a walk-in shower? I mean, it's a vertical bath, for fuck's sake, you know. I mean, why would you want one of those? I mean, I can see. They do some great little chairs you can sit in the shower, and I think that's a terrific idea. You know, I mean, get one of those and a waterproof TV, and I would never be out of the shower, to be honest. I'd just stay in there. But it is, and it's funny that when I moved into the house I'm in at the moment, I've been in it near 2 years now. Wow. And it's got the metal handle by the toilet, you know, for the old people. And at first, I remember laughing when I was looking on the house. Oh, for fuck's sake, there must be some really old people living. I use it to get on and off the toilet now, and it's like, oh, Jimbo, what is going on with you? Oh my goodness! And you know, because I'm of that age where, you know, it's a gamble. You know, I sit down on the toilet. Am I going to get up again? Who knows? You know, we may have to do the show from Jimbo sitting on the toilet because he sat down and couldn't get back up again because of his.
I saw a meme going around, and it was like they're just going to put little bags of snacks all around the house in case they fall down and are stuck there for a couple of days. I thought,
now there is a good idea.
That's awful.
And here's a funny thing. I had to pop up into the attic because we've got a little leak in the roof or something. And I thought I'll wait until the kids come home, because just in case, you know, if I have a funny turn up there, you know, at least they can call for help, you know. And it's things like that just make you think, wow, you know, I'm just getting bloody old. But as they say, there is life in this old dog, yeah, I can tell you. And and I'm probably going to regret saying this, but, you know, everything works. You know, I don't need pills and potions and shit. It's amazing, you know, because I really have not taken care of myself awfully well over the years. Funny story, actually, many, many years ago back in England, shortly after my first marriage went south, I joined a gym because, you know, I thought that's the thing to do, you know. I had to quit the gym because I remember I was on the rowing machine thing, and the Christina Aguilera Lady Marmalade song. That was steamy. Playing up on the screen, and I finished my set on the rowing machine, but I wanted to see all the video, so I carried on, and I actually managed to strain the muscles in my forearm to such an extent, I had to quit going to the gym for a while. But because I then got out of the habit, and because it must have taken me a good 3 or 4 weeks to heal up again, to feel right. And by which time I was out of the habit. So, you know, that was my flirtation with the gym. But the problem I found was I just get bored so quickly. That's my problem. Yeah. I just, anything repetitive.
You do.
And I just
you
get, you know what I'm like. And I just get, imagine me even for an hour at the gym, I've got to do, you know, 10 minutes on this. And it's the same thing week in, week. I'm just bored. Stupid. You know, so.
I can listen to music and totally take myself away and just, and forever, for a long time, I can just, like, you know, so, yeah, you know, and I used to walk a lot where I used to live, but here, there's too many hills, and it sucks, but, yeah, I would just put on my music, and I tune everything else out, and so that's what I would do, and I think I could, I wouldn't get bored. I think I get really deep in my head, and I'm just, you know, thinking, and, you know, I like it. I do. It's nice and quiet and time to reflect.
Well, the only time I listen to music is in the car, because I don't go anywhere, especially these days, don't go anywhere.
Right.
So more often than not, you know, usually I'm transporting the kids around, so I and, you know, I get to listen to a lot of sort of like modern rap, and it's terrible. You know, obviously you can't have crap without rap. That's what I always say.
I agree.
It's just some people. It's funny because, you know, my daughter should play, and I thought I recognised the song that they've sampled, because it was something that, you know, that was good back in my day. And she's, oh, this is a great sound. And I said, yeah, I remember the first time around, back in, you know, was it 70s, 80s, whatever, with just some asshole shouting over it. I mean, you know, if I wanted to listen to It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To by whoever sang that, I would listen to it, not listen to some cack-handed version of it with somebody shouting.
Yeah.
And it's going to make, I'm going to sound older. You can't understand the words, can you?
No.
You know, because the thing
is,
and I was listening to one in the car the other day, and obviously his thing was he could rap really, really fast, which I'm sure, you know, hanging around with his friends outside the laundromat or whatever, wherever these people hang out, you know, he's very clever. But
yeah,
it was just like, no, slow down. You know, I can't. But then again, when you can understand the lyrics, it's all swearing.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah.
It's all pussies and bitches and swearing. It's like, I don't want to listen to that. Thank you. Really.
You know, I have left out with my son because he listens to metal. As a matter of fact, even some bands that I don't even know. But, I mean, he goes back to, like, the, you know, 80s and maybe late 70s, right? I mean, he likes Sabbath and he's like, I think he's cooler than I was back then. Yeah.
I mean, sort of, I was in the late 70s, maybe early 80s, but it was sort of the golden era of heavy metal. Before it got, what they call it, hair metal and all.
That
sort of thing. You know, like you say, you know, your Sabbath and AC/DC and.
Yeah.
I connected with him on Facebook again after many years, and he was a big, you know, big, what do you call it? Headbangers, you know, big heavy metal fan, Motorhead, you know, Ace of Spades.
Yeah, oh my God.
Fucking classic.
Loved Lemmy. Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't a major fan of heavy metal, but, you know, it's like one of those things, you know, you look back and some of it was pretty good. I mean, a whole lot of Rosie, AC/DC. Again, that's one that you have to turn up. You've got to turn it up to 11 and just blast the fuck out of that, because it's a great song. There's some brilliant, all the Ozzy Osbourne, I mean, all the stuff he did, you know. Brilliant stuff. But these days, no, it's just awful. Stop it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, then my 11-year-old, I had to have the conversation. Do you know what WAP means, you know, in the context of the song?
I do. I had to look it up, but awful.
I do know what that
awful
means.
Awful song. Oh,
and it's sensationalism, isn't it? You know, the video is good for, you know, prepubescent young men to masturbate to, more than likely, or even me in many ways, but it's probably no more shocking now than, I mean, I remember, well, I don't remember, you know, you're a big Elvis Presley fan, and in his day, I mean, he was banned, a lot of radio stations wouldn't play him, you know, the big thing with Elvis was when they found out he was white, because he had that, that black sound, that bluesy rock and rolly sound. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he was banned a lot, obviously, for his dance moves. And so, you know, each generation, I guess, you know, we have now we have Cardi B writhing around singing about a pussy. I mean, you know, you get numb to what's it going to be next. I can't wait to see what's going to be the next shock. You know, I mean, how far can they go?
Oh, God. Oh, God, I don't want to know. On that note.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to ask me about our second guest, aren't you?
I was just waiting for you. I thought you'd take the hint, to be honest. But if I need to, you know, do I have to draw a picture for you? I mean, you know.
Okay, get your finger ready to push the button. Our second guest is international best-selling author Samantha Downing.
Hello.
Wow. Hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm sorry. I must apologize for Xtina. She actually said, get your finger ready. I really can't apologize enough, Samantha. I'm so dreadfully sorry for you. Can't get the stuff. You really can't. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. And you, I was listening to your previous conversation, and I'm not really sure how to follow that.
We can but try. Do you follow sort of, I'll call it music loosely. Do you follow modern music at all?
I not as much as I used to, but I mean, it seems like when you're in college is when you have all the time in the world to listen to all the music, and I don't think I followed it that closely since, but I do some. I actually grew up listening to rap. So it's funny. We were not rock fans. We were rap fans. So all the old school rap is what I, in my college dorm, I lived next door to two DJs. So they gave everybody an education on rap music. So
Now when you say old school, now I'm going really old school, I think, here. I loved the Beastie Boys, and I loved Run DMC. You know, tell you how?
It was like the 90s rap.
It's funny. Occasionally on Facebook, you'll see that one post going around. You know, if somebody had a gun to your head and told you you had to, you know, recite the lyrics to a song, which one, you know, whatever, that one, you know, you've seen it before. For me, Paul Revere by the Beastie Boys. Me and my cousin sat on the floor of her room with a boombox and, you know, paused every line until we got that song. It's a long song, too, and I still know all the words to that song. So that's my – I know. Yay! That was my music was good, though. I don't know.
I used to know all the words to some of the LL Cool J songs.
Doing it. Wow, that was a great song. I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're playing these days, though. You know, my daughter, I don't think she really listens to the James was talking about Cardi B or anything, but still, I'm not quite sure what it is, but to me, it sounds like music is vomiting all over the place. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. It's got weird synthesizers going, and it just sounds so weird, and it doesn't seem like anything goes together. I'm just thinking drugs, a lot of drugs.
I think so. Every once in a while, I catch one of the award shows on TV, on like the Grammys or what, the MTV Music Awards or something, and I don't know who any of these people are anymore. I have no idea I'm out of it as far as modern top 40 kind of stuff goes.
It's gotten kind of sad. Me too. I don't think I'd even watch any of the shows because I wouldn't be able to, I don't know, any of them, none. So it's pretty God, I don't feel that old, but I'm starting to sound old, you know? Oh, God. So, Samantha, you were here to talk to us about your book, He Started It.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
He Started It, it's actually about a road trip, a group of siblings who have to go on a road trip across the country in order to get their grandfather's inheritance. And they have a couple of their spouses with them. There's five of them all together. And they are estranged. They don't really like each other. And they are all, oh, I don't know if they're psychopathic, but they're close. And they have a lot of secrets, a lot of grudges, a lot of backstory. They've been on a road trip before when they were kids. And they're actually repeating the same road trip in order to scatter their grandfather's ashes at the end. And that's what they have to do in order to get their inheritance. And they do not trust each other. So within the confines of this car, there are many, many secrets. And I don't know if any of y'all have siblings, but I have a brother. And if we had to go on a two-week road trip, we would kill each other by about the second day. There's no way I can do it.
I actually don't. I'm an only child, and I always felt like I had missed out on something. You know, I have two kids, and they're about 6 years apart, and they get along so great. Now, they didn't always, but they get along so great. Yeah, they could definitely go on a road trip together. As a matter of fact, I'm always joking that I'm going to throw both of them out together, and they can just, you know, fend for themselves out in the big world. I mean, you know, 22 and 16, it's not like they're babies, but... yeah, they would do fine, I think, together, maybe, hopefully. But they wouldn't kill each other, so.
Well, I think the thing about siblings is they always know how to push your button. So the buttons you had when you were 10 are the same ones you have when you're an adult. And so I know when I get around my brother, we're 12 years old all over again. We tease each other the same way. It's the same jokes over and over and over. It's like reliving your child every time. Maybe we're just weird. I don't know. We don't see each other that much, so we don't live in the same area.
You know, it reminds me, one of my absolute favorite shows is Friends. And a lot of times something reminds me of this show, you know, Friends. Anyway, yeah, it reminded me when I think Rachel and Ross are just starting to date, and Ross is at the apartment all the time, and he's getting on Monica's nerves, and she's like, you know, at the end of her rope, and she's yelling at him, and he's like, what's wrong? You know, this is just what we do. I thought this was fun. And she's like, no, this wasn't fun for me. I hated you growing up. And so I get, no, I don't think you're weird. I think it's just, siblings, and I never had any, and now I'm sad, and going to go cry after the show. Maybe I'll just watch Friends and I'll feel better. So, I always did feel like, I always felt lonely. So, He Started It. Is it, would you call it a thriller or like?
Yeah, definitely a thriller.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Does it take place just in the car?
The book is the two-week road trip. And they start in Atlanta and drive across the country. And it flashes back to the first road trip and then to the current road trip. So it tells you what happened in both of them. And bad things happen in both. So it's a wild ride both times.
I really want to read this. So when you send out my copy, it's XTINA. Come on. No, I'm a huge fan of road trips too. So no, definitely that sounds awesome. And do you have an excerpt for us? I want to hear more.
Yeah, I thought I would read the very beginning. I just want to read the first couple paragraphs, and it'll give you a sense of what the book is like. The narrator of the book is the middle child, and her name is Beth. So,
okay.
14 days left. You want a heroine, someone to root for, to identify with. She can't be perfect, though. because that'll just make you feel bad about yourself. A flawed heroine, then. Someone who may break the rules to protect her family but doesn't kill anyone unless it's self-defense. Not murder, though, at least not the cold-blooded kind. That's the first deal-breaker. The second is cheating. Men can get away with that and still be the hero, but a cheating wife is unforgivable, which means I can't be your heroine. I still have a story to tell. And that's the very beginning of the story, and I'll stop there, otherwise it gets into a long, very longer involved scene.
I wanted more.
That's how the story starts, and the idea of a heroine and what a heroine is very important to the story. I started it with what the general rules are. Those are the rules in TV and movies, in books. You can't commit murder and you can't cheat. And if you are a woman, you cannot do those two things and be a heroine. Those are the rules. So, it's like the, if you watched Mad Men, if you took the Don Draper character from Mad Men and he cheated on his wife all the time, he was terrible to his children, he was terrible to his coworkers, and yet he was somehow the hero of the show. And you could never do that with a female character. They would never even put it on the air. So it's just not acceptable. So I wanted to sort of play with that idea and try to break the boundary.
I like that. Now, when you're not writing, what is it? What do you like to read?
I read a lot of thrillers because I get a lot of advanced copies of books that are coming out. So I think it's really important to read in the genre that you write. You have to know what's going on in it, and you have to know what's out there. So to being familiar with your genre is like part of your job as a writer. So I do read mostly thrillers, but I am always open to any genre. I have written in horror before, and I read horror as well.
I love horror. I do. I think that it goes back to when I was younger and Stephen King. I just could not get I couldn't read enough Stephen King. And I remember reading Pet Sematary when I was at a camping trip out, and I was, you know, laying underneath the, you know, outside the, you know, nature, and it was getting darker, and I could read just by the fire that was, you know, casting a glow on my page, and it was just so magical. I still remember that, and every time I, you know, see a Stephen King book, I just remember that, and I miss it. I do. I haven't read a Stephen King book in a really long time. I don't even know what he's done lately, but maybe I should give that a shot. I love to be scared, and you know.
I think the first one of his I read was Salem's Lot, and it was very scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah, yeah, I love vampires. Who doesn't love a vampire, right?
Right? But yeah,
speaking of vampires,
he still writes. He still has two books out a year. Yeah.
Wow, I don't know. It's October, and we're going to, you know, be doing the Halloween thing and stuff, and I love this time of year. I love to be scared, and I was telling James about, I think I mentioned it on the show last week, a movie that I just thought was amazing, and it's an older one. I think it was like in the 80s, and it was called April Fool's Day. Does anybody remember that movie?
I remember it.
I think you're on. Yes,
Netflix.
I think it was, yeah.
It's on Netflix right now, and the original, it still stands up. I made the boyfriend watch it for the first time last weekend, and I was just like, this is so good. I mean, it's not like a crazy slasher. There's not like blood and guts everywhere, and that's great. And then at the end, it's, you know, all just April Fools, you know, but it was good. It's not cheesy, and I loved it. So, yeah, I think I told you, James, that it was on Netflix. So I think you should watch it this weekend. That's my recommendation, April Fool's Day.
Yeah. I will look. I seem to remember watching that many, many, many years ago. But, a lot of the old hokey, sort of certainly from the 80s,
campfire.
You know, they stand up well. You know, I like them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, certainly, yeah, I mean, if you look at like a lot of the Blumhouse stuff now, which is just so, I mean, you mentioned before about being formulaic. You know, if you want formula, there's formula for you. You know, and it's just they're not a patch on the original ones at all.
Yeah, and I saw in one of the horror groups that I'm in on Facebook, it said something about the people who lived in the Conjuring house, the real family that lived in the house that was inspired by the movie, that when they were moving in, I guess the neighbor had said to them, you know, something about keep your lights on all the time. No, don't turn out your lights. And I just, you know, just little things like that actually chilled me more to the bone than the actual movie did. I was like, man, that's just scary right there. You know, if a neighbor had come up to me, you know, where I'm, you know, moved in to, you know, to the house and said, you know, you might want to keep your lights on all the time. Or I don't think I'd move there. I'm moving, you know, I changed my mind about this house. I'm good. Yeah, no, really. That would just terrify me. But, I mean, who else is looking forward to Halloween and scary movies? And this is the
best
time.
Well, you know, they've ruined it. I mean, certainly here, I don't know if it's countrywide, but there's no trick or treating, no parties, and anything that, which is because my daughter's got. I mean, it would probably be her last year trick or treating this year. So she's having a friend around. They're gonna do makeup and get dressed up and just have a party inside, really. So
watch
scary movie. Well, you know, I mean, she's got it because she's figured out. We always buy a couple of big bags of candy in to give out. So what we can do? Guess about, you know, she's obviously, you know, plans, you know, how I spend my money. You know, so, you know, her idea is, you know, we'll go and buy the good stuff. You know, the little miniatures, the Snickers and Milky Way, the little miniatures.
Yeah.
Buy a couple of bags of those, and then her and a friend will just sit and eat them all night in the house. So it's probably going to be a good one for them.
Sounds like a good plan. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
No, we definitely buy big bags of candy, and if the kids don't come around, but no, I don't think they canceled it here. So we'll definitely
be handing out some
candy.
Hopefully, we can live vicariously by you guys then.
Hopefully, yeah. Mm. So,
yeah,
Samantha,
we canceled it here as far as I live in New Orleans, and the mayor definitely said don't. I mean, she hasn't forbidden people to go on the street, but she said, please don't go out and do that. Just don't.
Yeah.
They're trying very hard to keep the schools open, and they just don't want to have an outbreak that sends kids back home again. So that's really what the purpose around here is, keeping the schools open.
Touch wood. I mean, they've been back be almost a month now, and touch wood that's not happened yet. It's going to. I mean, it's inevitable. You know, somebody will test positive and we'll close the whole place down for 2 weeks, and I'm dreading that because that's going to be a big up. Because as well, I mean, for the kids who, and they're still trying to push kids into, you know, online. Then, of course, almost daily, you know, we're getting report. In fact, we've got one today that they're apologising because the online Schoolology website was down, and technical issues this, technical issues that. It's just an absolute nightmare, you know. So, but my daughter, she's been going. She's actually enjoying it and mixing with friends and that. I mean, it's a little. She has some classes, there's like 6 kids, so she should be getting an exceptional education. She really should.
Yeah, my kid, he goes, they call it hybrid or whatever. He does like Monday and Tuesday, and then I think that's it, Monday and Tuesday a week. But when they come back, they have a fall break. I don't remember any stupid fall break when I was in school. But anyway, when they come back from that, they'll be doing full time. So cross your fingers that everybody stays safe, because he needs it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I. I hate to do this, Samantha, but we are running out of time for our show. You have to promise to come back, and we'll have you on for the whole show so we can just sit and talk books. And we definitely need a bigger excerpt next time.
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome. Tell us real quick where we can find you online.
Yes, I have my website is SamanthaDowning.com, and that's D-O-W-N-I-N-G, and I am on all the social medias, all the ones, the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and they're all under the same name, at S. Marie Downing, M-A-R-I-E. So I,
awesome.
and there's an email link on my website if you have something to say. I'm available.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Samantha. And everybody go out and buy He Started It by Samantha Downing. And
yes,
I'm happy to have you back. Yeah.
Okay, Samantha,
thank you
so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Oh, thank you very much. Have a great night.
Okay, and you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that was 90 minutes that absolutely flew by, which is nice.
Know.
You know, maybe we should run the show for like the whole week, so the whole week just flies by instead of dragging on like
it's
this
an
week.
Idea. Yeah,
yay, you know, there
idea.
You go. So, anywho, it is, I'm afraid, yeah, time has beaten us once again. It is that time where we have to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Red eyes is back, red from the night before, the night before. Walked into the room, but walked into a door. Old Red's in town, I'm sitting late at night. He doesn't make a sound, just adding to the wrinkles on his deathly frown. They're only red from all the tears that I should have shed. Never listen to a word the doctor said. He told you if you drank another, you'd be dead. Old Red Eyes is back. He showed his ache all over and